97.5, The Fanatic. The Eagle season comes to a close with a loss in the wildcard round to the Seahawks. With the NFL offseason upon us, what moves does Howie need to make? Are any of the coaches leaving? Who are the birds targeting in the draft? This is the Ron Jaworski Show, live from Ramblewood Country Club. Now here's your host, Ron Jaworski.
Good evening, everyone. Big crowd on hand here at Seven Tap Tavern, Ramblewood Country Club. We're still trying to go over that loss on Sunday, but we will survive. And welcome to the Ron Jaworski Show. And I certainly want to thank all our sponsors for supporting this show all season long. And this show has been brought to you by Xfinity. Stay connected during the biggest moments of every game with Xfinity Internet, delivering reliably fast speeds even during those peak hours when everyone seems to be online. Learn more at Xfinity.com. Tonight's show is brought to you by Bradford White Water Heaters, Carl Pinto, and all the fine people over at Bradford White Water Heaters, built to be the best. Thank you, Carl, and your amazing group of people. We're also brought to you by Burns Honda. Visit them today at burnshonda.com. Jim McCormick and all his teammates over there will take great care of you. And, of course, the show is brought to you by Miller Lite, Brendan Dalton, Mark Kramer, as Harold and I are toasting to that. We thank Brandon and Mark. We got the Miller Lights in our hands. So thank you for the Miller Lite sponsorship. And before we start breaking down the Eagles' season-ending loss to the Seattle Seahawks, I couldn't tell you how honored I am to have as my guest tonight on the show. Harold Carmichael is now a finalist for the Hall of Fame. And along with Harold Carmichael, Thank you. Dick Vermeil and Steve Sable are steamrolling along towards enshrinement in the Canton this year. And I could not think of three finer people than Harold Carmichael, Dick Vermeil, and Steve Sable from NFL Films. And before I bring Harold on, I'm going to embarrass him a little bit. Yeah. And so, yeah, you know, that's Harold. He's a humble guy. But, you know, when you're this close to getting in the Hall of Fame, you need all the support you can get. And I love this guy like a brother. He is that good of a person and has meant that much to professional football here in Philadelphia. And Harold Carmichael was a member of the NFL All-Decade Team of the 70s. He was a four-time Pro Bowler, twice an All-Pro, in an era before all his receivers put up those gaudy, crazy numbers. Harold was putting up those numbers in the 70s and early 80s. And, you know, keep in mind, from 73 through 1981, he never missed a game. He was the NFL Man of the Year. That's just not about football. That's about community service and his charitable work in the community. He didn't parade around the sidelines. He didn't draw attention to himself. He never undermined his team. I can vouch for that. He was the consummate professional who stands for everything that is great and important about athletics and football in America, which is what Harold is about. He is, in my opinion, the perfect candidate for the National Football League Hall of Fame and enshrinement in Canton. Harold Carmichael, great to have you on the show, my friend.
Thank you very much, Ron. You know, it's really humbling just to sit here and I say, well, how do I look? What should I do? What I do with my hands? You know, he's up there saying all this stuff about me. But, you know, thank you very much again. You know, Ron, it always takes a lot of other people to make me, you know, that's what I say about me. You know, being around people like you, and we of course, we're on our whole 1980 football team that we had there, that helped me that motivated me to be what you just said I am. You know, I'm going to let you say that.
I know you're too humble to take credit, Harold.
When I look at people like you and what you're doing in this community, I said, well, Harold, why don't you do more like that? I say, every time I see Ron, every time I see you, you're doing something for the community. Giving the bikes away, you know, being or doing this to the playground, you know, doing this for the kids, you know, you're the best.
Well, thank you, Harold. I appreciate that, but hey, this is, and we'll continue to do that great work. The Jaws Youth Playbook and my wife Liz and Trish is here, our executive director.
You guys work hard, man.
But this is so special for all of us to be aligned with you. Vermeil and Steve Sable pushing as hard as we can push. You know, I mean, we're in the red zone, man. We're in the red zone. We're in the red zone. Hey, we might even be at goal line area right now, a tight goal line. So everyone's working hard to get you there for one simple reason. You deserve it.
Yeah, well, thank you again. I'm very humbled by this award that they're, you know, hopefully I can get. But, you know, again, it's, you know, with you guys, you know, guys I play with, you know, I couldn't do it without you. I can't throw it and catch it at the same time, you know.
You threw it pretty good, though, Harold.
Well, that's why my shoulders are so bad now, you know, trying to throw the ball. Well, you know, just horsing around.
Did we ever call a pass for you in the game? I know we had
one. We did one.
It was incomplete.
No. Don't. We tried it about three times. Yeah, I threw, completed one with to Mike Quick. It was about a 42-yard touchdown pass. It was, you know, like one of yours, but mine was a little softer.
Wait, when was this? Did I miss this?
No, you were there. Oh. Yeah, you miss it when you don't throw them. Yeah, yeah. Oh, I didn't see that.
That's how quarterbacks are, Harold. You know,
yeah, I know. But no, yeah, I did throw one to Mike, and it was fun. We tried it a couple of times, and I couldn't. You know, one of the first two times they were covering it. You know, so I had to, you know, tuck it and run with it. I only got a couple of yards on that, but we finally got it done. It was the X quick screen pass. That's what we did. You know.
Well, I know you had the big arm. I thought you'd say like you had like a 70-yard bomb down the field because you could throw it that far.
Well, I've thrown it 105 yards before. You know, I know you don't believe that.
I do believe this. And here's a real-life story. You know, we used to work out and train in the offseason at Veterans Stadium when it was still standing. And, of course, the Phillies played there, and we'd work out, and we'd run laps and do all those things. And one day we're standing around second base in the Veterans Stadium. And I don't know if you challenged me or I challenged you, but someone said, hey, can you throw the football over the center field fence? And I said, yeah, I can do that. And Harold's standing next to me, and I throw it, and I did not. It hit about 2 feet short of going over the center field fence. So Harold takes the football. He not only cleared the center field fence, it landed two rows up in the stands. I mean, he could throw the ball, I bet, close to 100 yards. You said 105?
I've thrown 105 before.
I mean, look at his arms. They're about 9 feet long. So he generated.
You know, yeah, I can't help it. You know, but, you know, I tell you, that would help me, but the length of my arms, my height. You know, a lot of people knew that I couldn't run. I'm not a fast run. I didn't run fast, but my arm limbs, you know, that helped out a little bit. Right. That took about a tenth of a second off of my speed.
Hold those hands up to the people that are live here. I mean,
it's the eyes.
I feel like a little infant here. I put my hand.
But you know, everybody said, "Oh, look how big his hands are." But it's the eyes. If you don't see it, you won't catch it.
Yeah.
You know, it can bring me back to other stuff, but we ain't gonna bring that up. But you know.
Yeah. Right. All right, Harold. We got to get to some serious business here now. This Eagle football team, and you know, you were the honorary captain this past week, so you get the loss.
You tell me somebody.
Hey, Harold, you're going to get blamed.
I was praying all Saturday night and Sunday, please, we got to win this game. We got to win.
Yeah, you know, I remember I was the honorary captain a couple of years ago on the Eagles played a Monday night game. And you know, my record was like 0-5 as the honorary captain. And my buddy John Gruden is shredding me up in the booth. Yeah, it's worse than 0-5 as a captain. What the hell did I get him out there for? Well, we won that game, by the way. So I was able to shut John up. But people don't forget that stuff, Harold.
Yeah, I know. I was
nothing to do with it.
I'm saying, come on, win this game, guys, because everybody's going to think I'm a jinx now. You know? But I was up in New York. I went up with the team and we went up there, you know, all that rain and stuff. So a couple of guys said, oh, yeah, our lucky piece and stuff. So we get down here Sunday and we lose the game. And I want to crawl up under the stadium to get out of there, you know, because I say, now everybody's going to blame me for the loss.
Well, you're going to get blamed. It's Philadelphia, man. You haven't caught a ball in 30 years, but you're still going to get blamed for the loss, Harold. We're on the sideline. Hey, we're all excited. You know, it's Eagles, Seahawks. The place is going crazy. You know, the crowd's into it. We're into it. Players are all lathered up. We're down there on the sideline. And what happened?
Well, you know, I tell you what. I tweeted earlier in the day. I said three ways that the Eagles will win the game. Offense, defense, and special teams. When they blocked that field goal, I start strutting. I said, I know it's saying the right thing.
You called it.
I called that right. But then again, defense stepped up, played very well, held them to 17 points. offense could not score a touchdown. That's the problem. We have to find a way to at least score at any game at least 20, 21 to 28 points a game. You know, and we didn't do this. You know, we'd have won about three or four games if we had scored that many points.
Your thought on Jadeveon Clowney's hit on Carson Wentz?
I knew
Wentz.
You was going to ask me that.
Of course I have to ask you. Hey,
you know, I looked at it. You know, I think I went. I was in the press box. I went to get something to eat, but when the live part of it. But somebody was telling me about it, and I looked at it, and it was. You can see he wanted to spear. You know, back in the day, you could guys were spearing, but it was a cheap shot because you see him kind of directed his head towards Winston's head. But it's a crazy call for me again when you're running back. You know, and I talk like this because I'm saying that when we played back in the day, all of that, you can do that stuff pretty
much.
Yeah,
that was legal.
It was legal.
Yeah, helmet to helmet, no such thing.
The helmet to helmet rule penalty, it runs me crazy. You know, you cannot, have you ever, I'm quite sure I'm going to throw this out, have you ever, like, somebody dropped something and two people go down the same time, you bump your head, or you're meeting somebody and you're giving them a kiss, you know, the two cheek kiss, and you bump head.
You know, Harold, where are you going with this?
But what I'm saying, that's what happened when a defensive player commits himself to hitting the running back or whomever. Now you're looking at the running back, he starts to duck his head.
Right.
Now the defensive back cannot pull it back.
Correct.
You know, so that penalty, you know, is tough. It's tough not to. And you place him. Somebody, I think I saw on Twitter today, Seth Joyner was saying something like, when you play the game in the National Football League, any football, with the helmet, your helmets are going to touch sometime. You know, and
all the time
it's going to touch, and it's something, you know, when you again, when a defensive player or offensive player commit themselves, you can't pull it back. You can't stop in midair. You know, so I think they need to kind of revise it some kind of way that if it looks intentional, yes, it's a penalty. But if it's something that you can't stop, leave it alone.
Yeah,
you know?
And
it's causing too many stoppage in play. Playing is making the game longer. I think they, the officials, they do a great job, you know, in doing what, you know, a lot of them do. But you know, there's sometimes guys, you know, I think they just want to get on television and say, you know, watch me today. I'm going to get on TV. Hey, you know,
but that's a shot.
But I probably won't get in there now.
You won't be working for Troy Vincent up at the league office and John Runyon up there.
But you know, it's they have a tough job. It's very tough to really at speed. You know, live speed is really sometimes it's tough to make those calls.
Yeah, and
you know, making them or not making them.
A guy like Jadeveon Clowney is an incredible athlete. I mean, he is faster than Carson Wentz. I mean, the guy is an incredible talent. If he was on our team, we would love him because he's that kind of player that plays to the whistle, through the whistle, great effort, hustle, and all that. Unfortunately, he plays with the Seattle Seahawks, and a penalty should have been called, in my opinion, plain and simple. I'm not going to call it malicious. I think
they should have called a penalty.
It was helmet to helmet. Yeah. It's a penalty. It's that simple. You know, knock off 15 yards and play ball.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you're not bringing Carson back, but, you know, I it was, you know, whatever the incidental, you know, whatever. They got buzzwords now for everything. It was helmet to helmet, throw the flag, move on, and play football.
Yeah, it was pretty, it kind of looked spearing, you know, because it was in the back of the head pretty much. Carson is going down, and he just drove his face mask right in the dirt, too. So it was
the double whack. It was the whack in the back, and his head hits the ground. It's another whack.
Exactly.
But I take this maybe a little bit further, Harold. And this is, you know, when you think of Carson Wentz and, you know, what's his greatest strength and what's his greatest weakness, they're both the same. He never gives up on a play. And when he makes those plays, we stand up and we cheer and we go crazy, and you love that part about him. I love that part about him. But also, he fights to the bitter end. He gets the last inch out of every play. As a quarterback in this league, you got to be available. It's not necessarily always about the talent and, you know, what you have. It's about being able to line up every single play, being available every single play. And I would much rather see, like, that play where the Seahawks read the screen pass. So he's out in space by himself with three Seattle Seahawks defenders bearing down on him. don't fight for the extra yard. I know it's variant to how he plays the game, and we play, but you're the quarterback. Why do you think Russell Wilson has been healthy all these years? He slides
runs when
he's
going to
get
crazy.
In. He slides.
He runs defenses crazy and, because they want to hit him so bad.
And I hope this is Carson understands it's about availability. And when he breaks the pocket, you know, get what you can and get down. Don't fight for the extra yard or two. It's not going to make a difference when you're in the concussion protocol.
Well, I learned that my rookie year, the last five games of my rookie season, all year Ben Hawkins and Harold Jackson was telling me, don't try for the extra yards. I wanted to be like John Mackey. He was dragging guys.
He's a big old tight end. Yeah, he is a Hall of Famer,
exactly.
By the way.
You're in a... And I wanted to be like
him. I'm promoting you, Harold. I'm getting his Hall of Fame here.
And Ben Hawkins said, go down. And we're playing Dallas, and I'm trying to drag a guy, and here I get a shot on my knee. And it took me out for the last five games. It tore my knee, medial collateral, which they don't even operate on anymore. they cut me all up. But anyway, that what you're saying now, Carson needs to know when to go down. I think it kind of happened to him when he got hurt Super Bowl year.
Yeah, and against the Rams. Diving into the zone.
You're diving head first, you know. No, it's not good.
Yeah.
You know, because that's another way you can get the concussion. Mm-hmm. You know, hit somebody on the knee, somebody kick you and stuff, and helmet to helmet, you know. But he has to be careful.
All right, you're listening to the Ron Jaworski Show with my very special guest, finalist for the National Football League Hall of Fame, Harold Carmichael. And, Harold, I can't think of a better guy to speak to when we talk about these Eagles wide receivers. You know, you've been close to the organization for a long time. You know, for years, you were at practice every single day. You were warming up the quarterbacks on the sideline. You were warming up the wide receivers. You were so tight with that group. When you see this group now and a bunch of veteran players go down, Deshaun's down, Alshon Jeffrey down, Aguilar hurt, and all of a sudden you're calling guys off the street. You're signing guys from the practice squad. How difficult is that to be integrated within the offense when you haven't been around for the whole season?
Well, let me tell you one thing, though. Practice squad guys, they're still in the NFL. It's been burning me up the past 3 or 4 weeks. You're getting guys off the practice squad. You're getting guys that you brought in from, they're NFL players.
All right, explain that.
Supposed to be, when you come into the NFL, people expect you to play. You know, when you're number one, number two, number three round draft choices these days, they want you to come in and be a starter now. Back in the day, you can come in number one. You know, I used to watch the Cowboys and the Redskins. They were groom guys. They would draft a guy number one, but you wouldn't see him for another 2 years. Nowadays, they want you to come in and play. Nowadays,
yeah, but those are hidden practice squads.
When you're a practice squad player right now, I expect you to come in and be able to play when you're needed. I don't care if you're on the practice squad, whatever, coming off the street.
But, Harold, how many reps are they actually getting? It's hard to get reps for guys.
Now, the reps are the thing, but, I know a lot of times the quarterbacks have to get to know the receiver and vice versa, And we had that relationship. We knew where I was supposed to be, and we had that trust. I don't know if it takes a whole week to learn that. I know these days you only have 2.5 hours to be on the practice field. Makes it very tough for anybody to come off the street and learn your system. Now, coming in and learn your terminology, your system, and where to live, and, how to get there, and all lot of stuff that you got on your mind now. And the pressure that these guys have had coming in, again, you're an NFL ball player. I'm careful from practice squad or whatever you want to call it. They are expecting you when your number is called. And that was something that was for me, because from high school all the way up to the pros, to the NFL, I was always going to be prepared to go. Whenever they turn around and say, get in the game, I went in the game and I performed. And the same thing, I have a story, but, I know when I have time in college. It happened to me in college. I was there with my helmet behind. The guy, the starting guy got hurt. They was looking for the backup receiver. I was the third receiver. Number two was down on the bench, having fun down there. And the coach turned around and said, "Carmichael, get in the game." Nobody played that position after that but me.
Once you got on the field?
Number two, he had to go to defense now. You know, so and number one, I don't know whatever happened to him, but being prepared whenever your number is called, you have to be ready to go.
By the way, folks, you're listening to the Ron Jaworski Show with the Hall of Fame finalist Harold Carmichael. He's going to be with us for the rest of the show. We come back after the break. We'll be joined by NFL insider Adam Kaplan. A lot has been going on around the National Football League this week. Black Monday on Monday, where a lot of coaches lost their job. Adam will update us, along with Harold's going to stay for the rest of the show, on what's going on around the National Football League. And guys, you know I've been talking about my friends at Burns Honda for years. And there's a reason for that. When you find a business you trust and really enjoy dealing with, you want to tell everyone about your experience. Burns Honda has a terrific inventory right now that you can see online. Shop their huge inventory of over 800 vehicles online at burnshonda.com. Enjoy extremely low lease pricing and limited time financing options as well. Stop in and tell them Jaws sent you. Tell them Harold Carmichael sent you. Tell them Adam Kaplan sent you. Burns Honda is located on Route 73 in Marlton, New Jersey. Visit Burns and discover an unmatched car buying experience for yourself. And remember, when you need super savings on new Honda cars, trucks, and SUVs, turn to Burns. You'll be glad you did. Check out all their offers and their entire lineup at burnshonda.com. We'll be back with more of Harold with Harold Carmichael right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Welcome back, everyone. The Ron Jaworski Show coming to you live from 7 Tap Tavern, Ramblewood Country Club. And I know we'll be packed on the weekend like we are tonight because I saw the temperature, 65 degrees, and the golfers are chomping at the bit to get back on the golf course. And
too hot.
By the way, Harold, all the Ron Jaworski golf courses are open this weekend and open to the public, so come on out and have some fun. And not only tonight is Harold Carmichael, my very special guest, finalist for the NFL Hall of Fame, and we are all working very hard to be sure that Harold is enshrined in the Hall of Fame. He's joined by two other amazing people, Dick Vermeil, now a finalist, Steve Sable from NFL Films, now a finalist, and we are working very hard for those three incredible local guys that deserve to be in Canton and enshrined in the Hall of Fame in Canton. So we're pulling for Harold Carmichael, Dick Vermeil, and Steve Sable. So if you get a chance to talk about Hall of Fame enshrinement, folks, mention those three iconic figures here in Philadelphia. So, Harold, thanks for joining me. And
thank you.
We're going to grab another iconic figure, my dear friend Adam Kaplan, NFL insider. It's always great to have Adam on the show because he really has a pulse of not only what's going on in Philadelphia, but what's going on around the National Football League. It's a crazy week. Black Monday, coach getting fired, teams eliminated. A lot of talk right now. So, Adam Kaplan, welcome to the Ron Jaworski Show along with our friend Harold Carmichael. How are you, Adam?
Guys, good to be with you tonight. I hope you're doing Adam. Well. And yeah, Jaws, it's really been a surprising week. The Giants kind of surprised me. I thought all along it would be Matt Rhule, but Matt Rhule got an unbelievable contract to be the Panthers head coach. That'll be interesting. So, look, the NFC East, Jaws, is going through a transformation here with Ron Rivera, Joe Judge, and, of course, Mike McCarthy.
Joe Judge from Lansdale, Pennsylvania. Harold, he got a $60 million contract. I knew I should have stuck to coaching.
I know. Well, you were pretty close to that anyway, player. You're the reason I couldn't make any money.
We played for tip money, man. What are you getting out in today's
game?
You're
right about that. I think tip. You know, you throw that money away. It makes my dollars look bad.
Hey, Adam. What did you make of Doug and Howie's press conference today? Did it give you any indication of where this team is going?
Well, look, I think it's going to be a busy offseason. I think, to Roseman's credit, he brought up that, and this surprised me, that he does get attached to a lot of players, particularly older. And we know Jason Peters, DeSean Jackson, and others. So he did address it. He actually admitted it, and that's been a struggle for him. What he did say today was really interesting. He talked about how they really had a two-year window after the Super Bowl to try to win another one. Well, that window just closed because they just finished the second season after the Super Bowl. So that what that tells me, guys, is simply they're going to get younger. There's going to be a lot of movement on the roster. And I'm expecting, and Howie talked about it at least three or four times today, he's projecting them to have 10 draft picks. And, you know, last year they had a lot, but they only wound up having five because he traded up a bunch of times. So it sure sounds like, for a change, Howie wants to keep all these picks and really flip this roster and get much younger, and let's see if he does it.
You know, Adam, when you look at this team, and you mentioned age, it is the second oldest team in the National Football League. The only team that's older is the New England Patriots, and there's a reason why that guy playing quarterback is 42. I'm sure that elevates their average age. But clearly, you know, it was obvious when Doug and Howie were talking, and rightfully so. I thought they were both very succinct and to the point of how they feel this season went, and you compare it to that Super Bowl season. Hey, you got to give these guys time. You got to give them an opportunity. You got veteran players. You have aging players, and you got to give them that opportunity to see if they can keep it going. They did not. I love the fact that, hey, there will be 10 draft choices, according to Howie. Who knows? It could be 9. It could be 11 by the time you wheel and deal. But he now knows the team must get younger.
But Ron, I mentioned this to you earlier, we have to be careful of getting younger too early, too fast. You know, because when you do that, you're going to need that leadership. And I know we got guys on, you know, that's young now, has leadership ability, but we got to be careful on that. Sometimes, you know, and if we're going to sacrifice that, sure, we can sacrifice that for another 2 years for us to build again. Again, we talked about young guys coming in being able to play. You got to have guys to come in that's going to learn your system, going to know your heartbeat of the team and in the city. Now, also, one of the other things, you know, how he talked about is getting close to players. I learned this back years ago. Even as a player, you don't get close to your teammates that much. I mean, you get friendship with them, you know, because they cut my best man in my wedding, my roommate. They cut him one time. And
who was that, Harold? That was
Tom Sullivan.
Tom Sullivan, our running back, absolutely.
And we're from the same hometown, and the same neighborhood pretty much. But I felt so bitter when they cut, you know, Tom, because we're so close. So Howie has to kind of understand you can't get too close to players, especially in his position, you know, because you're going to have some bad feelings towards a lot of people. So he has, he has to be.
But Harold, careful. You know, that was the knock on our favorite coach, Dick Vermeil, who's, you know, hey, now a finalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. But there are a lot of the people out there that, you know, that talk that, you know, coach kept guys a year or two longer than they deserved. And it hurt the Eagles in our last couple years there in 81 and 82, where our team did get old. And so it really is a fine line where you become attached to these guys. You want to reward them for what they have done, but it's a fine line for are you going to reward them for what they're going to do? Because at a certain point in pro football, there's a reason the average career in the National Football League is 3.1 years. By the time these guys are 25, they're old men.
They start looking at you kind of sideways.
Yeah.
Hey, it's time for you to get out of here, guys. You're 25 years old. Go. Get out.
Yeah.
You know.
Hey, Adam, what else did you glean from that press conference today?
Yeah, I thought that. And I know there's a big controversy with Jim Schwartz, and I think the Eagles are trying to put some fires out here. The more that Doug Peterson was pushed, the more he left it open to interpretation that Jim Schwartz is not a lock to come back. But the Eagles also have to be very careful. Jim is interviewing for the Browns head coaching job today. So,
I would say
this. Look, there's been change on Doug's staff every year. I would expect some change this season. Doug didn't say that's going to happen, but just knowing this team and knowing how I think the team probably should have been better despite all the injuries, I think internally they were expecting a lot better. They want the young players to be developed. And we'll see what happens the next week or so. That's typically when changes are made. But I like the big takeaway, though, is Howie Roseman knows they have to get younger, and I think this time he's going to get it done.
And they got to get faster. You know, there's a dearth of speed at wide receiver. Yeah. There's a dearth of speed in the secondary. I love Malcolm Jenkins, and he's still got a lot left in the tank. But he's a box player. Rodney McLeod at free safety, you know, just doesn't have the range to go sideline to sideline, and teams take advantage of that. He can't give these average corners help when they need it in single high safety look. But, you know, those are the things they have to look at. And you mentioned something a minute ago, Adam, and I want Harold to chime in, and Adam, you as well. You know, everyone, when the season ended at 9-7, everyone's like, oh, I'm proud of this team, and they really came back, they won 4 straight. I get it. I understand that. But I look at the season in totality, and I think back to losing to Atlanta, Detroit at home, and in Miami. 3 games you must win. You can't lose to those teams that you are clearly more talented than. You put those 3 wins on top of the 9 we had, you're at 12. You're not even playing wild card weekend. So I don't think the season is, this is all that great when you had an opportunity to get a bye week and you let teams that were inferior to your talent beat you. That's what's bothered me and sat in my craw about this season.
It's the same thing with Seattle and with the Patriots when they came here. If we can score 21 to 28 points a game, we can beat these teams. You know, our defense played well enough to do that, but we couldn't score enough touchdowns to win games.
So so how do you correct that?
Well, we
is it the quarterbacks, is it the old lines, the running games, the wide receivers?
Well,
what is it?
Everybody's talked about it, but you know, again, you know, I look back to when you become a player, when you sign a contract in the NFL, you're an NFL player. I don't care if a special team, if you're practice squad, whatever. You're an NFL player. You have the guys that got hurt. You got the guys come in. Hopefully you're bringing guys in that has the talent to be a starter. You know, but, you know, did we have that? I don't know. You know, they say the next man up. We struggled a little bit, but, you know, some guys came through, but it hurt us a little bit.
Yeah. Adam, what's your feeling on that, losing those 3 games?
Brutal. In fact, I could tell you from inside NovaCare, the one that crushed them, Jaws, was the loss of the Dolphins. And the other thing that bothers people with the Eagles is why are they home and road split for defense? Meaning, why are they so much better on defense at home rather than on the road? I mean, we're not talking about 1 or 2 points here, by the way. We're talking about several points. Why can't they win on the road? Now, I would also say, look, they had 2 of the great wins early in the season against Buffalo and Green Bay. But then you have the Miami game, and you go, who is this football team? And I think the problem that I think people in NovaCare have is that they can never figure out what this team was. They had no identity for most of the season, and I think that really bothered people.
All right, Adam Kaplan, Harold Carmichael, hang with us, guys. We got a lot more coming your way on the Ron Jaworski Show. We'll be back right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Oh, thank you so much, everyone. Big crowd here for the Ron Jaworski Show at 7 Tap Tavern, Ramblewood Country Club. Oh, and man, what a very, very special guest we have live with us tonight here at the 7 Tap Tavern. On his way to Canton, Ohio for the Hall of Fame. Now a finalist, Harold Carmichael. Harold, great to have you as usual, my friend.
Thank you again, man. Appreciate you.
You know, on that same bus as we're getting into the red zone, tight red zone, goal line offense.
Go to fade.
Our guy, Coach Dick Vermeil, also one of those finalists. So we're pulling hard.
Oh, yeah.
And my boss for 22 years over at NFL Films, Steve Sable, his office is right down the corner. So it's great to have 3 Philadelphia iconic figures on their way to Canton, man. So, hey, folks, push hard. Talk up Harold. Talk up Coach Emile. Talk up Steve Sable. You get a chance. These guys are not only great athletes, great coaches, great people for the game of football, but great people in general. So thank you, Harold, once again for joining us. And
thank you again.
You know,
man.
Hey, I know it, when you guys get in, it'll probably be. I know B-Doc had a hell of a party. Tommy McDonald absolutely flipped the place out when he was there.
Yes,
but
I
you
got
if you guys get in, we're gonna have busloads driving on out there, man. So
we have a big party.
We'll have a big party. You know, it's not far from my alma mater of Youngstown State University. Man, I might have a few friends to drag a few out there for
nobody, you. I don't know, but they're still there?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Hey, I'm going to check. It's been a while, although I do go back for one game a year and make sure that the buildings are still standing, and they still are, and the program's doing well. So
it's been a long time, Ron.
All right, Adam, you still there, my friend? Adam Kaplan joining us here in the Ron Jaworski Show. All right, it's all good. All right, Adam, again, let's elaborate now on some of the news of the day. You know, we heard from Howie. We heard from Coach Peterson about the direction this is going to go in. What was said about the injuries that this team has sustained over the last couple of years? Has there been any talk of any changes about how they train, about what the league is doing in regards to practice schedules? Any update on how this team can stay healthier?
Yeah, this is interesting. So they had I knew they had one, but I didn't know that the guy turned his report in. So last spring, Howie hired a chief medical officer whose job is to take an overview of everything injury-wise. It could be how many injuries they suffered. It's how the players are treated. How does the medical staff work with the players? Everything. And what Howie did reveal is, look, the guy has a report that he's going to give to him at the end of the season, which is now, about what he saw. So, look, I think what happened was, and it's a smart move by Howie, he went in, he's not a doctor, but he wanted to know why, really, the last three seasons, particularly the last two, why is there such an injury problem? And you got to figure it out. I mean, you can't just throw your hands up and hope it gets better. You just can't do that. So you got to find out, and that's what he did.
But, Adam, are there other teams around the league that are using a medical advisor, you know, some doctor, some firm that's evaluating all the injuries? And not only evaluate the injuries, but evaluating the training process, how guys are training. Do players now have their own individual gurus that train them, and they don't even use the team facilities? I know there's teams are concerned about that guys, they don't want to train at the Eagles facility or other teams' facilities. They have their own special training guru because that guy knows their body better. So is there any talk of how other teams train as well as the Eagles?
Well, okay, so we know with the Jaguars that Tom Coughlin, the former director of football operations, he wanted players to rehab their injuries in the offseason in their complex. Well, there's no rule that says you have to do that. So because of the rules, you know, Coughlin tried to force the players to do that. The NFLPA said no, and the Jaguars were fine, obviously. But when you take it from a macro view, yeah, look, Howie's smart. He knows. He has an idea of what other teams do. And by the way, the trainers from every team talk to each other. They kind of exchange information on how things are treated and what kind of concerns that they have in the, you know, around the league with the profession. I would say this with the way the Eagles treat it, how they rehab injuries. The other thing we didn't talk about is how Howie hired two rehab specialists, a guy, and a female, and a man, and they both have expertise in it. And their hope is, and the big thing for them was to get players back a little bit sooner. Because if you remember, Jaws, some players, remember Darren Sproles last year? Sproles took nearly 3 months to come back from a grade two hamstring strain. That can't happen. And that was one of the problems last season. So they're trying to get a handle on why it takes so many players and also to come back earlier. And then just the speed, the number of them. That one, the Chargers told me, because they've done every test. Sometimes you just have a bad season, but why do the Eagles have so many soft tissue issues? That's another thing that the Eagles are looking at.
Well, one of the things, that, you know, if you give teams more time on the field, not 2.5 hours on the field, you know, a lot of people think that's a long time. We spent 3 hours.
Yeah.
three and a half hours.
That was an easy day.
But you give players time enough to warm up. You know, you can only be on the field 2.5 hours. You know, and you're rushing through stretching because coaches want to get plays. They want to get some time in and get as many plays as they can get in a practice session. So that is rushing a lot of guys, keeping guys from really stretching their body. You know, I told a lot of guys, I said, you should stretch inside in the locker room.
Right.
You know, rather than, you know, sitting there, you know, doing other stuff, they really need to take care of their own bodies. You know, a lot of guys, you know, you see them, I watch, I come over to practice, and they stand up making movement. Like they're working, you know, they're stretching and stuff. You have to take care of your body. This is your job. If you know, Ron, if you go over there and watch practice someday or other team, watch how some guys warm up. You know, maybe they did something inside, but they're pulling muscles. They're straining this. They're straining that. You know, I had one pull muscle once in my life, and I said, I'll never do it again.
Well, you don't have enough muscles, Harold. That was a whole darn problem. Yeah.
Well, look at this. Look at this.
All right, Harold. I'm going to put you and Adam on the spot. I'm going to make you the general manager of the Philadelphia Eagles. Adam, Harold. Now, I can only pay you all the Miller Lite you can drink. I can't pay you what an NFL GM
Adam, deserves. I got your beer here. Don't worry about it. I got you here.
I think everyone kind of senses this Eagle team needs some explosiveness at the wide receiver position. Now, hey, maybe Deshaun comes back healthy. Alshon gets healthy. But I'm going to make you a GM. And you've got these wide receivers out there that are free agents. And let me know if there's a guy that would enamor you that you would go out and get. And I'll start with Amari Cooper.
Yes.
Robbie Anderson. Emmanuel Sanders. A.J. Green. Oh, how about this guy? Larry Fitzgerald. Hall of Famer eventually.
We're talking about Young. I love Larry. He's one of my favorite guys. Yeah. But we're talking about Young.
He's on my list.
Take him, scratch him off.
He's scratching. He's not coming here. Okay, Harold, we scratched Larry Fitzgerald off your list. Adam is if you're the general manager of the Philadelphia Eagles, any of those guys pique your interest?
Robbie Anderson, he could run. He had a great stretch. He was on contract drive. He does have an injury history. He's not old. Played here at Temple.
Yep.
He can flat out fly, Jaws. I mean, that's what he can do. He's a little bit on the thinner side, but he can play outside. That's where you line him up. Amari Cooper, I'll never give him that money. Talking to the Cowboys, that game that he had here in Philly, he didn't show
up. It was
awful. I could tell you that how disappointed, to say the least, their coaching staff was, and I'll leave it at that. No, I would not give Amari Cooper, because when you need him the most, he didn't show up. So, no, I would not pay him that money.
How about A.J. Green? A.J. Green is a guy that I would be tempted to take a good hard look at.
Older player, 31 years old, didn't play this season due to ankle surgery, can't do it. Get me someone who can run. Jaws, you nailed it. You both know it. You know the team well. This is one of the slowest teams in the National Football League in terms of wide receiver group and just an offense. You need two guys who could run, preferably one of them with size. And then the quarterback position is the other one where they've got to get speed. They've known Lilly could run. The only guy who could run, Darby's a free agent. I can't imagine he'd come back.
Well, you know, Adam, I'm going to go against you with Amari Cooper. I love this guy. I don't know if he was 100% doing when they played the Eagles, but this guy gets open. He runs some of the best patterns out of any receiver I've seen in the NFL. He along with Julio Jones. But these guys run great patterns. They get open. But again, he might have been hurt. I don't know for sure. I would like to
find out. Biggest game of the year.
If your body says no, you can't go. You know, that's what happens. I don't care first game, last game, but that happens. I just like the guy. A.J. Green, top player. Again, we're talking about younger.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about, you know, a youth here. So we have to look at that. You got to look in some of those college guys that's coming out this year, LSU and Alabama.
Ooh,
some of those,
man,
I tell you what, we need to look closely at some of those guys because they can play.
Hey, Adam, did the Eagles look close enough at Metcalf last year? I know he was on the board.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
You know, I probably just hit a nerve with that. But I just woke up the audience here at 7 Tap Tavern.
You got to give him credit. He was awesome. He made out defensive backs.
Let's see what happens here with the coaching staff and whether they could, you know, get him right. We're talking about J.J. Arcega-Whiteside here. I'm shocked at how poorly he performed that. That was probably, if not the biggest disappointment in offense, certainly one of their top three in the whole football team. shocking. But he's going to look. He's only he'll be in his second year. He was a rookie. We know how rookie receivers tend to struggle. But what's magnified, not only that Metcalf was here and he just did this, Terry McLaurin did it to him in both games. So
yeah, out of Washington, frankly, right?
And he went later in the third round.
Yeah, it's hard to watch a guy like Metcalf who's a LeBron James on the football field. My God! And by the way, I did like Ortega Whiteside. I did like Metcalf better. But now it's easy to look back and say
Right.
But I thought Whiteside would be a good red zone guy, good wingspan. You know, Harold, and you know how important that is. You know, I believe in that red zone receiver. You got to have one of those guys.
You got to have a guy that knows how to body position you. Also,
right. And he was that guy. He wasn't a Bernie,
he's not going to outrun anybody, you know. But you have to look at a guy that's going to body position. I did not have the speed, but I put my body between the ball and the defensive back. And there's something that they have to learn. Whiteside, again, when we talked earlier about being a number one, number two, number three draft choice, people expect you to be a starter.
Right.
You know, and they have to put that in this guy's mind. We're expecting you to come here and start being a number two drafter. We don't want to waste. I'm not saying they wasted. The guy came up with a couple of key catches in two different games. And he played well with one or two plays. You know, but, you know, I don't know if he got hurt. I think he got injured one of these plays. But we got to have these guys that can, you know, these days they don't want you to play through injuries. You know, if you're injured, they want you to get out of there. And a lot of times, I tell guys, if you're not 100%, get out. Because when you go on the field, everybody expects you to be 100%.
There's no one 100%, Harold.
Well, not this time of year.
No one's 100%.
Not this time of year. In the beginning of the year, yeah. And I was telling one of the guys the other day, you know, I said, how you doing? He said, oh, man, I'm sore. I said, aren't you playing football? You know, this is football. Yeah, you're going to be sore. You're going to be hurt.
Hell yes. Not,
you know, and some guys, injured that are playing. You know, but these days they don't want guys to play that way. They want to, you know, because it's sued. People worrying about getting sued now, you know.
All right. Hey, Adam, you can you hang for another segment? We're going to go to 7:14.
You got it.
We love your insight. The Ron Jaworski Show with the legendary Harold Carmichael and the great insider Adam Kapitein. We'll be back with more right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, thank you so much, everyone. Big crowd on hand here at 7 Tap Tavern, Ramblewood Country Club. Great neighborhood, great people, having a lot of fun with those Miller Lights, especially Harold.
Oh, yeah.
You're listening to the Ron Jaworski Show with my very special guest on his way to the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio, Harold Carmichael. Harold, great
thank
to have you.
You
with us. And
thank you, Ron.
On the
thank
line,
you, everybody.
Adam Kapitein, our favorite NFL insider, always gives us great information here on the show. And all right, I'm going to throw this out since the season is over. We got to look ahead to next year. And Adam, I'll go to you first with this one.
All right.
Is this team closer to the Super Bowl now, or were they closer at the beginning of this season?
Closer to the Super Bowl at the start of the season. Why? Because they told Josh McCown that, Jaws. I'm told that there was one of the things that swayed Josh to Philly, other than, you know, he wanted to still play.
Like $2 million didn't sway him, did it?
He wanted a ring. So they just got, they had a lot of injuries, but they probably made a couple mistakes on evaluations. But overall, I think the injuries curtailed it.
Well, I mean, the Josh McCown, I mean, no one ever expected him to get in the field. You know, by the way, since you mentioned that, where is Nate Sudfeld now in this quarterback mix?
It's a great question. His contract is up. He was a restricted free agent after last season. Now he's unrestricted. He will be in March. And, you know, when Nate broke his wrist, you know, they brought Josh in. They talked to Josh, I'm told, also in March. Josh said, look, I'm going to retire. You know, he was at ESPN, and then when it got close, you know how these guys get the itch. You guys both played. He had the itch once the Eagles called, and he decided to come back. And that was not good for Nate. Nate did learn. Look, Josh is an awesome guy. He coaches high school. He could be coaching the NFL any day that he wants, but Nate kind of regressed. He did not have a good offseason. He's got all the ability. You know, he's a big guy. He can move. He's a good arm, but he did not have a good offseason, and I think that's probably one of the Eagles' disappointments in terms of offense, that he did not develop like they thought he would this season.
Right. Harold, are we closer now to a Super Bowl championship, or were we closer at the beginning of the season?
Man, I was blowing the horns for the Eagles' whole team the beginning of the season. They were, you know, just watching practice. You really didn't see them in the beginning playing against any other team, but you just saw the draft choices, the attitude of the players, you know, how the upbeat, the whole team, how they were so excited about it. You know, people talking about the receiver core. And I was, you know, that's one of the positions I was looking at, the receiver core, and watching them in practice a few days a week, watching these guys catch the balls. You know, some guys that I still say they should have kept, they shouldn't have gotten rid of some of the guys. But, you know, when you draft guys in high rounds, first, second, third round, again, I'll go back to that.
Right.
They are expected to play, you know, and I'm not knocking Whiteside. He should have been playing more than he did play. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you have to look at these guys, who they draft and what type of mentality that they have. If they have the speed, do they learn how to get open, learning how to catch the 50-50 ball. You know, those types of things, you got to get the trust in the quarterback. You know, that's one thing I wanted to do. When you came here, when I first came in the league, I want to make sure them quarterbacks, they knew that if they threw that ball around me anywhere, that I'm going to catch the ball. Because quarterbacks, they want that. They want to have that
trust. It's called trust.
They want to have that trust in the guy. If I throw the ball any kind of way, he's going to get it. You know, I tried to make you look good all the time.
And you did.
You know,
hey, Harold, that's
whatever, I didn't want you to look bad at all.
Harold, you know what? You're going to Canton, I'm going to the golf course. That tells it right there.
Yeah, right. But
hey,
no, that,
I
you know, that,
one
that's
thing
something.
Here,
go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to add one thing about the season. I was on the record, picking the Chiefs versus the Eagles in the Super Bowl.
I had it as well, Adam. Okay, those were my two teams. I had the Eagles 13-3. Yeah. I thought this was a loaded team.
Yeah, I thought it was loaded in all positions. And, you know, when we talk about the next man up, I said, we're good there. You know, but, you know, it didn't happen.
Yeah.
It didn't happen.
You know, Harold, I know you and I are certainly – we've been tutored and maybe neutered by Dick Vermeil. and I still remember like the day one of training camp, he would say, we gotta beat the teams we're better than and split with the teams that we're equal to or they may be better than us. And I look back at the body of this season and it bugs the hell out of me that we lost to Atlanta.
Yes.
Detroit at home and Miami.
Yes.
And you know, all the pride of winning the last four and Carson maturing, that's all wonderful. It's a nice story. But this team could have been 12-4 and wouldn't have had to play last week in a wild card game and lose our quarterback. So there were some games that the Eagles lost that they should have won. And that's why it's hard for me to get really excited about what was accomplished late in the season because of what happened early in the season. So that, you know, this team needs an adjustment. It really does.
Well, we're getting better. We're growing. We're becoming big boys now. You know, we don't worry about all of those cliches that people are saying. You know, we got to get better at this, got to get better at that. You know, I got to get better at coaching. A lot of times, we're big boys now. You know, we've been around too long now to keep saying these things. And, you know, a lot of times people get kind of tired of hearing that right now, that I have to be better at this, got to do that. You know, again, we're in the NFL now.
Yeah, and by the way, Harold, you look at the NFC East right now. They've just acquired two really good coaches, guys that can coach. You know, Mike McCarthy has won a Super Bowl with the Green Bay Packers. He goes down to Dallas where there's still a lot of talent there, and Mike McCarthy will get the best of them. Ron Rivera, we're all familiar with Ron here in Philadelphia, an outstanding coach, took a team to a Super Bowl. So, you know, we don't have those pushovers that we had for the last few years in the NFC East. So this thing is tightening up. So everyone's got to tighten up right now in the Eagle organization.
I think the scale's going to be balanced in the NFC East right now. You know, we're all starting over. We got new coaches and all. and, you know, looking at the Eagles, we're saying that we're trying to get younger. So that's going to put us right level with everybody else that's rebuilding also. And they kind of say that's what you call rebuilding.
Yep.
You know, and we got to look at how many years it's going to take us to do that.
And by the way, now that, Adam, you may be aware of this, now that the season is over and you look at the strength of schedule, the Eagles had the 26th easiest schedule in the NFL this year. 26.
Oh, it was really good early on. And by the way, can you believe the Seahawks come in yet again next season? It's all the start of the
No, I don't want to see Pete Carroll. I love Pete, but I don't want to see him anymore. he seems to own us, you know.
It's been tough trying to beat those guys for years.
No. You know. Well, no, it's not Pete Carroll. It's number 3.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't pee a drop in that game Sunday in the running game. I mean, they got their butts kicked, but we couldn't stop number 3. I mean, Russell Wilson is their whole entire offense. Of course, he got a big old LeBron James and shoulder pads out to throw it to in Metcalf.
No, so that guy's a
big guy. I don't want to see him anymore either.
I tell you, he made our defensive backs when he stood next to him look like little kids and stuff. You know, he's a big dude, man.
That's what you used to do, Harold.
He's wider than I was. I was so skinny.
Yeah, I think Harold used to just like pregame would walk around in front of those DBs and they'd be going, "Oh my God, I gotta cover this guy."
You know, one of the things, you know, I did watch film, you know, he studied and all, but the first couple of plays of the game, I would look at guys' eyes. You know, how I came off the ball, if their eyes got big, I said, "Oh, I got him now. He's scared."
Josh, you might remember I called you and Greg Ossell's the 2012, and I was at the Senior Bowl because you would say, "Let us know who you saw this year." And I said, "There's this quarterback from Wisconsin. He's really small, but he had a great week. I just don't know
how
to review him."
I remember it well, Adam. You were all over it.
It was unbelievable, but. Yep. The ironic thing was that was going to be Eagles quarterback in 2012, but they did not trade up for him, and he went to Seattle. But you know what? I think they're pretty happy with Carson Wentz.
All right. Adam Kaplan, thank you so much for joining me, not only tonight, but all season long. And Harold Carmichael, wish you the very, very best. And we're going to start loading those buses for Harold Carmichael, Dick Vermeil, and Steve Sable for the Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. Good luck, my friend.
Go Birds.
Love you and love your family. You're the best. And that'll do it for the Ron Jaworski Show. What a great year it's been for us. We didn't win the Super Bowl. Oh, yeah, we did win the Super Bowl. Thank you, everyone.
We beat Dallas.
Have a great offseason.
We beat Dallas.
We beat Dallas.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.